When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Seriously, these brands are absolutely fantastic, and I really recommend you support them. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store. And learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, we're taking a look back at some of the gems our guests dropped this season on Trials to Triumphs. In this special episode, we're having a real talk about generational healing. I come from a long line of women who have encouraged and inspired me throughout my life. My mother always reminds me that no matter what I'm going through, I come from good stock. I'm forever grateful for the level of tenacity and strength that's been passed down from generation to generation, but just like any family, there are still ways my family is healing and changing for the better. In modern culture, the phrase breaking generational curses has become a buzzword. But my guests today provided fresh insights on the work necessary for true healing to take place. We'll hear how therapy helped comedian, actress, and social justice advocate Amanda Seales grow with her mother.
My mom was not a really emotionally like mature person, but I feel like that entire generation, by the way, is just bereft of that, which is why so many of us are in therapy and also being like, you got to go to therapy too.
What radical acceptance taught best-selling author Ashley C. Ford?
The miracle of grace is that you can give what you've never been given. I think that the difference sometimes between us and our mothers is that, like, when we do find that grace for ourselves, we experience the miracle.
How trauma therapist, minister, and best-selling author Dr. Anita Phillips believes we really break generational curses.
A lot of people were saying, oh, I'm trying to break these generational curses with my mom. It's like, yeah, no, you're actually still trying to meet your childhood need to rescue your mom. And that is different.
And we'll also hear how life coach and six-time best-selling author Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt is healing a new generation.
I tell every woman when she crosses 21, learn your mother's story because that will inform you of your future.
When Amanda Seales was growing up, her mother was always her champion, whether that support came in the form of investing in her hobbies or speaking up for her at school. Amanda always knew her mother was someone she could count on. Years later, as an adult, Amanda shares how setting healthy boundaries with her mother helped their relationship soar to new heights.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. Yeah. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystal's Health Monitoring Litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystal's Health Monitoring Litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.
Who would you say was your rock growing up?
Oh, my mom. I mean, she's, you know, out of
I
her
thought
mind,
you would but... say her, but I want to know, like, why? What is it about her that has really, really held you down? Or do you have a moment that you remember, like, you realized your mom was the realest one on your team? Like, oh, you really, yeah.
I think that it, well, first of all, it was like, it was just me and my mom, right? Mm-hmm. So, and my family are not reliable. Like, they might support you in this instance, and then they might not. Like, there just wasn't ever, to me, a shared responsibility or obligation to each other. So, but my mom and I had that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I would say my mom, I mean, my mom just was always very down for whatever I envisioned was a thing that, like, my mom never made something that mattered to me not matter.
Ooh.
And I think that's really important. Because I can't think, I mean, as a kid, I mean, as an adult, we had our stuff. But as a kid, like, if I was like, yeah, I'm really into hieroglyphics right now, then we into hieroglyphics right now. Like, love you know, that. Like, and it's not even like we had guap like that. Like, my mom was working two jobs. Like, my mom worked, you know, at a nursing home. She would work double shifts. You know, like, this is not, it's not like there was any silver spoon, but it was like she had just decided that it was going to be me and she was going to just pour into me. And so I never had the dismissal in that way. I feel like my feelings were dismissed. Like, my mom was not a really emotionally, like, mature person, but I feel like that entire generation, by the way, is just bereft of that, which is why so many of us are in therapy and also being like, you got to go to therapy too.
And our poor parents are like, what?
No, my mom, I put my foot down and was like, you will not get to talk to me unless you go to therapy. And that's where... And that, and there was two rounds. We had to do two rounds of that. But right here, as we're recording this podcast, she is in therapy. And the
is she liking it? Is she? Does she? Irrelevant. Does she see it yet? does she see like the?
So here's the thing: the first round, she saw it immediately, like literally, would be like, okay, so can you give me an example, like, of when, like, you feel like I wasn't emotionally there? And I'm like, what era?
Mm-hmm.
We elementary, middle, or high school, or adult, like, which one, you know, because I can give you all of them. And I remember her being like, how do you have such a good memory? I said, because for you they're memories, for me they're scars. So
taking me out. I'm yeah.
So ooh. I still got them, honey. You know, like, you have a whole other life that you lived before I even existed. You are my whole life. Like,
wow. Oh my God, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Our whole lives, our parents have been in our...
You're my whole life.
We've only been a part of it.
I'm a portion.
This is what I'm talking about. Every time I talk to you, I'm like, this is a perfect example.
Yeah, like,
that's
I'm a
taking
phase.
Me out.
I'm a phase of my mom's life. My mom didn't have me until she was 34. My mom had a whole existence. My mom had a whole marriage before I existed. So, you know, we're just like a phase of their thing. Whereas, like, I do not know life without my mother.
So, wow, that's crazy. I never thought about that. But that says so much about the child, you know, parent.
Yes. You know, they'll say things like, why do you take everything I say so much? Like, ma'am, you are you are my whole GPS map. Like, you, sis.
You're all, yeah, you, I came from you. You brought me here. Like, what?
You were literally, I was in your body. Like,
wow. That's
I made
real.
Of you. Even if I wasn't in your body, I'm made of you, right? And then if it's not even that, it's just like you were here. Because, you know, we have so many different types of parents right now, right? So it's not even just biological, but it's like my framing of the world was designated and created by you, even at times when you weren't doing it intentionally. Like, me just witnessing you interact with somebody is framing my world. And then you're shaping me. And then you get to an age where you're like, All right, now I gotta shape myself. And that's arduous because clay hardens over time. Honey,
yeah.
Clay hardens over time. So maybe I go to the water because it softens me and it makes me more moldable.
Yes, Amanda, did that just hit you right now?
It hit me right now!
Son!
Wow, you're really going there today. Wow! That actually makes complete sense. You're clay. Ooh, wow. Yeah, I just got to dip your fingers in the water and it's off. Yeah. I mean, if you think of us as God's creatures, you know, he's molding us. But ultimately, I just know that my mom, even in her trauma, even in her shortcomings, I know that she is rooting for me. And even sometimes when she's in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you're just like, ma'am, you are in the way right now. You can't even let yourself enjoy this because of your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to excise you from this situation, but I know that you love me. I know you do.
I've always admired Amanda's honesty, especially in uncomfortable situations. Challenging the generation that came before you can be risky, but that vulnerable space also has the potential to strengthen your relationship and open up new possibilities for the generations to come. The power of honesty and vulnerability also rang true in my conversation with best-selling author of Somebody's Daughter, Ashley C. Ford. When it came to desiring a deeper level of vulnerability in our relationships with our mothers, Ashley and I had a lot in common. She taught me that our personal experiences don't have to impact the grace we have to give or receive.
Glennon Doyle has this quote, I don't know if it's her quote. She may have said she was quoting somebody else, so I'm sorry, but I read it in her book. But one of the things she said was that the miracle of grace is that you can give what you've never been given. That is the miracle of grace.
Oh my goodness.
You know? And I think that that's what a lot of our moms are missing is the grace that they could not find for themselves. They have a lot of trouble finding for us. But I think that the difference sometimes between us and our mothers is that, like, when we do find that grace for ourselves, we experience the miracle. Like, that is the miracle, is that we are able to give ourselves what we were never given.
Whew.
You know?
Yeah. And I think about my mom a lot and what I want from her sometimes in the realm of vulnerability. Like you were just talking about the grace, like she just didn't have it. But I never thought about that until I was an adult. I was like, she didn't have the person to fall into either. And I know there have been so many things in her life that she was looking around saying, who can I fall into? And absolutely. I just hope that when she hears this, that she knows that, like, I want to fall into you, mom. There's no better arms than the arms of your mother. No arm can compare to the arms of your mother and the bosom of a mother, you know, like it's a special place. And that's why when, you know, going back to the beginning, when you said your memories of being held were with your grandmother.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, I'm grateful that you have those memories, but I also know that I'm sure you wish you kind of had those same sort of memories with your mother too.
All the time. When you don't really have that connection with your mom, you don't have that kind of relationship, you don't have that closeness that you really desire with her, it's not to say that you can't have a closeness, you know, or a special relationship and stuff with other people. It's just that it's always bittersweet because there is always part of you that's like, man, it's wild that some people got this from the person who gave birth to them. You know, it's wild that some people know what it's like to feel this way about the person who gave birth to them. Mm. It's wild. You know, what has been wild to me for most of my life and continues to be wild to me into my mid-30s is that people reach out to their mothers for comfort. I know that it happens. I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen. It's a beautiful thing to see, yes. like, somebody go, I need to call my mom, you know? Like, I need yes. my mom. And to be like, wow, what is that like? Like, what's it like to be in, to feel like you're in trouble or to feel like you need someone to hold on to or someone to hold on to you? And your first thought is, I need to call my mom. You know, I wanted that, you know, yeah. I wished for that. Mm-hmm. I hoped that that would become my life over and over again. I had a whole fantasy of how I would give myself over to that at some point, how, you know, I would want to remain open to that all the time. Like I held on to that fantasy until it started to hurt me. Like I held on to it for as long as I possibly could. I wouldn't even say when it started to hurt me. I held on to that fantasy until I had to choose between it or me. I was trying to finish the book. I was in a lot of emotional distress for some time. And I had a really fantastic therapist, and he suggested that I go to a place where you go through some pretty intensive therapy and you're separated in a lot of ways from the rest of the world while you're there, including your normal support systems, your spouses, your friends, you know, like you're really there on your own, like sent out to sea and with people who you hopefully trust. And you're going to unearth some stuff. You're going to figure some things out about you and what you really want and what you're really afraid of and what you're really trying to do with your life. And I went to that place. I think that's where I sort of had the realization while working through some of my memories, some of my insecurities, you know, a lot of things while working through those things in a group. It was suggested to me that I was still hoping to be a 14-year-old who was close to her mom. Mm-hmm. Except I was 33, mm-hmm. you know, and I was thinking about that and I was like, oh my God. I guess there is part of me that is holding on to this idea that, like, I don't want to tell the truth or I don't want to say what's real in case it destroys an opportunity for me and her to become this thing that we can actually never be. I am never going to be a child who finds comfort in her mother. Like, that's already passed. I don't get that back. And because I don't get that, my pursuit of that fantasy by way of holding myself back is not only going to end up being fruitless ultimately, but is also harming me. Because not being able to be honest about who I am and what I've been through is coming out in other ways. Yeah. It's not just something that I've been able to contain to this one area. Yeah. It is something that is spilling out into other parts of my life and in some cases kind of poisoning them. I didn't want that anymore. So I didn't know that this was going to fix it, you know, or if it could fix it. And I don't know that I'm fixed now, but I knew that I had tried all the other stuff that sounded easier. Ditto. Mm-hmm. None of them worked. So I had to do something else.
Selling smoothies is what I do. But for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too. So he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yeah, and I think it's about accepting the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers that we do have. Yes. And hoping that they can do the same with us, right?
Yes.
Like you said, like maybe your mom isn't someone you can run to for comfort. She's going to make you laugh.
For sure.
And there's a lot of people who have moms that are there for comfort, but don't bring them that type of joy.
Right.
And it's about, you know, sometimes you have to barter with yourself. Like maybe when you were a child, you needed a lot of that comfort, right? You didn't get it.
Right.
But now you have a husband who washes your pajamas.
I sure do.
So you don't need that in the same way. I just got chills. You don't need that in the same way. You know, that was that was restored in a different way by another person that was a gift to you, right?
Yes.
And so we can now seek something else, right? From our mothers or from our fathers or from our sisters or our brothers. So that really spoke to me because it allows you to have acceptance, but also it encourages you to discover. There's so many other amazing things that about my mom that maybe it's not the vulnerability, but there's so many other great things that I'm like, thank God I have this. Oh my God, my mom's the freaking best. You know what I mean? Like this is great. And some of the things that she's not able to give me because she wasn't given it and because it's something that she's still learning at almost 70 years old, God has placed other people in my life that can kind of do that and vice versa for her, you know? So
same.
I'm really grateful for that. One of the greatest ways we heal in our relationships is through practicing radical acceptance of what we once desired to be our reality and what is actually our reality. This allows us to release the pain from our past and protects us from taking resentment into the future of our relationships. I'm so thankful to Ashley for the reminder to cherish our relationships for what they provide instead of resenting them because of what they lack. Trauma therapist, minister, and best-selling author of The Garden Within, Dr. Anita Phillips and I talked at length about the importance of prioritizing your own mental and emotional well-being. Through her studies and personal experiences, she discovered that before we can receive the grace we want to give ourselves, we have to tend to our hearts and learn to see ourselves first. I want to ask you, though, because I think this is going to be really important for me and also for our listeners. You said that you had felt like you weren't seen by God. And
just by
anyone. Oh, it was just by anybody. You just felt like you weren't being seen.
In my most important places, you know, as a child, I was seen achieving. I was seen, you know, being attractive. I was seen, but attuned to heart to heart. Yeah, I didn't feel that connection. And I think that was always missing for me. My parents were very overwhelmed by my sister's illness. It drained a lot of energy from them. And so I didn't always experience there being enough emotional energy left for me.
Mm.
And so there was a lot of times where, I didn't feel attuned to emotionally, that connection, that scene, those scene moments outside of what I was achieving.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I'm happy you went a little bit deeper into what that feeling was, because I think sometimes that wasn't something you could have given yourself.
No, not then.
And you know what I mean? And I think that sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves or angry with ourselves and feeling like, you know, well, I should have been able to find this for myself, or I should be able to see myself. But
not a child.
Yes, exactly.
Not a child. Yeah. The only way that you know how to see yourself as an adult is usually because someone saw you as a child. Our yes. attuning experiences with our caregivers are so foundational. And when we have caregivers that are able to attune to us because they have the capacity or the energy, all the things, we kind of absorb that experience and we're able to more easily and naturally give it to ourselves later. But when we didn't, we're likely to go without, which is what I did for a long time, or constantly seek it externally because the child inside of us is still hungry for what it needed. And so I define codependency that way. You know, we talk about codependency kind of negatively, like, oh, this person is needy or they're overdependent. But I see it really, it's just still being hungry for something that you needed as a child and didn't get. And your inner child is still hungry for it because they still need it. The thing is, once I recognize that hunger, how do I meet that need in a healthy way? And that often means reparenting ourselves and going back and taking care of the child within us. And I'm not saying that my parents were bad parents.
No.
They were overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, they were overwhelmed. And I think a lot of times we struggle with that. Like, oh, well, I'm saying something bad about my parents if I'm saying that I need to care for my inner child or reparent myself in some ways. But no parents are perfect. I haven't been perfect. But I still needed to go take care of that little girl. I had to go take care of her.
And also, Dr. Anita, we come from parents who need to have that for their
parents, grandparents, great grandparents.
Yes, so
generational
it's
trauma, generational loss. And we're starting behind the eight ball with a lot of stuff. Yeah, 100%.
So as much as you know, I need to do that for myself. My mom deserves it too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. My dad deserves it too.
Yeah.
And
that generation especially may never make that connection, but we start with us.
Yes.
We start with the healing here and then we go forward. A lot of times we want to heal here and then we want to run backwards and get the ones behind us or older than us, but our first responsibility should be to the ones coming after us. So I had to do me, then I can do my daughter. Then maybe then if you still have time, space, opportunity, if that parent or grandparent is willing, start going backwards, but don't go backwards before you go forward. It makes it impossible to break that generational pattern. And we break patterns forward because we stop them from repeating. We can't repair them backwards in the same way as we can repair them forward. It's
yes, that's good. That's really, really good. Oof.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying, oh, I'm trying to break these generational curses with my mom. It's like, yeah, no, you're actually still trying to meet your childhood need to rescue your mom. And that is different. And once we have to let the child inside of us know that they are not responsible for rescuing their parent or their grandparent or their auntie, and that it's okay to take care of yourself. Yes, I want to see generational patterns broken, but don't let that language hide some broken stuff that's going on. The little kid inside of you still trying to rescue a parent. That was never your responsibility.
Dr. Anita's perspective on generational healing was truly eye-opening. As someone who was committed to breaking generational curses and seeing my family thrive in every possible way, I needed to hear her words. Before we can connect deeply with others, we have to start within. This was especially true for life coach and six-time best-selling author, Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt. In our conversation, she looked back on her actions as a mother with honesty about her shortcomings. Today, she continues to draw from those experiences to teach others how to heal and transform generations to come. I want to ask you about motherhood and maybe the greatest lesson that motherhood has taught you over the years.
The greatest lesson motherhood has taught me is I'm not going to get it right and it's okay. I had three children. All three of them are different, even though two of them were born on the same day at the same time and they were the same weight and the same length. My first child, last child, same day, same time, same weight, same length. Totally different. Totally different people. Totally different people. And my middle daughter. So I didn't get it right with any of them. And it's okay. And when I say right, meaning I didn't give them everything they needed, I didn't learn it until after they needed it. Who they were, I didn't recognize because I didn't know who I was. I was a horrible mother. Horrible. I was a great father.
Tell me what that means.
Mothers nourish and nurture and affirm. Mothers teach. Mm-hmm. Mothers hold. Mothers nourish, nurture, affirm. Mothers hold. Fathers provide. Fathers protect. Fathers direct. I didn't guide. Mothers guide. There's a distinction. There's a distinction between guiding you. Come, let's do this. Great job. You did it. Yeah. Now you go ahead. I'm right here. You go. I'm watching you. That's guidance. Mm-hmm. Direction is do this because I said it. Do it. Do it now. That's direction. I was a great director. I was a horrible guide.
Wow.
I was a great father. I didn't know that. So I want to talk in mothering about the distinction between fathering and mothering, because many mothers are fathers.
Miss Iyanla, that is profound. There is a distinction.
It cost me two of my children. It cost me two of my children to learn that. That I wasn't mothered. So I didn't know how to mother. And there's a very divine, profound template to mothering. And so many mothers are caught up paying the rent, buying the food, running to the job until they're great fathers. They're not mothers.
Yeah.
They're not. And we have so much information. One of the greatest things I wish I had known when my children were growing up was their love language. Of course, he didn't write anything about love languages until the 80s. And my kids were all born in the 70s. And, you know, what I know now is that my son's love language is words of affirmation. I did not affirm my son. I directed him. I you know, criticized him. I chastised. I didn't affirm him. And he still today has challenges and issues with his value and worth in getting stuff done. My youngest daughter, who just passed, her love language was affection and touch. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't know how to do it. It wasn't, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. I'm trying to cook, clean, do the laundry, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so she left her this life believing that I didn't love her because I didn't love her in the way she could receive it. Now, my middle daughter, her love language was quality time. Now, as a mother, because I was neurotic, I took my kids everywhere. No, they didn't spend the night out. They didn't do play dates. Because I had been sexually abused and violated as a child, that was not going to happen to my kids. So I took them everywhere. So while my youngest son went with me and I didn't affirm him, he was miserable. My youngest daughter went with me and I didn't hug her. She was miserable. My middle daughter was happy as a pig in slop.
Because she got to go everywhere.
You know, that's all she needed. I didn't have to buy her no gift. I didn't have to say no to her. Quality time. She was with me and we were like this.
Wow. Yeah.
But I didn't know. I didn't know. Now I know, you know? And I think in this day and age, it's important for every single mother to know her child's love language.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I want to add, I think it's important for children, and this is something that I'm learning now, to learn about our mothers and our fathers as much as they'll give, right? Because it informs who they are. And we can give the grace that you deserve. Truly, it's not to say, I really believe that it goes both ways. I'm asking my parents difficult questions because I want to understand them so that I can understand us and the dynamic we have and how we can adjust and improve. And, you know, and I know their love languages just like they know mine, but we have to ask difficult questions and give our parents the time and the space to find the words. The words aren't always readily available.
And remember, they're coming from another generation. So they're coming from another generation, depending upon how old you were. You know, I could never ask my grandmother some of the questions that my grandchildren asked me. Like when I was telling my children about my days of smoking happy flowers, they were horrified. You smoke weed? Yeah, I did. You know, and I tell every woman when she crosses 21, learn your mother's story. What is your mother's story? Because that will inform you of your future, number one. And what's your father's story? Not because he's your father, your daddy, or your dad. What was his story when you were still a tadpole in his spine? Learn his story, learn his relationship with his mother, his relationship with his father. Learn those things so that you understand you're not just dealing with your mother or your father. You're dealing with human beings who have stories and experiences and memories and challenges and issues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So once you turn 21, dude, you gotta learn your mother's story.
Yeah. I'm doing it now. I'm still asking questions and it's been beautiful. It's been difficult, but it's been beautiful. And I'm so grateful for the time. I'm grateful for the time that I get to ask my parents these questions still and that they're willing to try to find the answers.
And what I would say to parents, you know, who may be listening, tell your children their story. Tell them about your fears. Tell them about your bad behavior. Tell them about your victories. Tell, you know, because sometimes we've set it up so that the children don't know, even when they're adults, they don't know how to speak to us. And, you know, we make it, you can't ask me that. So parents need to be able to share their stories too, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully they can hear it. So I want to do that in mothering. I want to give a different concept to mothering because it means more than having a baby. You know, it's a major, major undertaking.
I loved my conversation with Dr. Iyanla because not only did I have the opportunity to learn from someone I've admired for years, but I was so in awe of how, with all the prolific work she's done, she's still committed to being a student of life first. In each episode, I always ask my guests about lessons their parents taught them, because I believe our upbringing has a significant impact on the lives we go on to lead. More and more, I've come to see that as much as we are influenced by our ancestors, we have an important role to play in shaping our lineage as well. I've always believed that the current generation has a responsibility to learn from the mistakes of our ancestors and move forward in a way that sets the next generation up for success. Healing starts within, and I pray every day that my legacy will be one of healing. We truly are our ancestors' wildest dreams, and one day, I hope that the generations that follow will be able to look back with gratitude that in our own ways, our steps towards healing had a powerful ripple effect. Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tyndall is our lead producer. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. You can find the full episodes for Amanda Seals, Ashley C. Ford, Dr. Anita Phillips, and Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt on YouTube and in our podcast feed. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts to ensure you hear the next one.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.